Hello and welcome to I Want to Grow, and I Want to Grow is all about that, right? You hear it, me say this so many times, but it's right. But today is different. We're celebrating the British Council, and they've been in business now for 90 years. And the things that they've done on a global basis is incredible. Today we have Badr and we've got Professor Milan. Thank you so much for coming on and celebrating the British Council with us. But before we get to the British Council, please introduce yourselves and tell us what you do.
So my name is Dr. Milan. I'm the department head for DCMP, Digital Communication and Media Production Department at the College of Computing and IT, that's University of Doha for Science and Technology.
Yeah. I've got to say, I've had some special, before we come on to you,
yeah, Brandon, no, take your time,
I'm really sorry, but I've been to this place and it is just breathtaking. Breathtaking what you've got.
Well, what we did, we did the best what we could do within university environment. So yes, we built a studio in one of our classrooms. We ordered a bunch of equipment. We're still ordering a bunch of equipment. And what it's also really important, we created a study plan that covers the major needs of today's kind of diverse media field, and especially Qatari 2030 vision. So we have in the first year general education courses, second year television and journalism, and then third year documentary production, elements of UX design, immersive technology, concept art, and then arguably being the most complicated, we have a fourth year fiction film production and capstones.
I still, when I think about it in my mind, I'm just still blown away. But you, your university, Doha University, and I know that there's another technical term that I've left a little bit out, but Doha University, what they're doing to bring in this next generation in these areas is quite considerable, right? It's mind-blowing.
Well, there is definitely pressing need, right? And we have students, Qatari students, and many international students. I mean, this is a very diverse community that we have at our uni. And we are basically serving pretty much the whole population of Doha as a public university. It's a very, very diverse school.
But this is something that the British Council has been working on so much, is about that diversity, about different cultures coming together and growing together and learning together. And we're coming on to you, who's a student right now, Badr. So it's a great time for you to introduce yourself.
I just want to say, I did introduce myself earlier. Viewers didn't miss out on anything. It's fine. So my name is Badr Ali Al-Ammari. I am a third year student in the program of Digital Communication and Media Production in the University of Doha for Science and Technology.
So we were just shouting about your university and everything that you've got there. What does it mean to you to have all this equipment and knowledge and experience?
Yeah. Well, I got to say, I'm lucky enough. I'm really lucky to be, part of this growing university. I'm starting to realize that the university really isn't holding back on providing us the things that we need to become excelling in our fields, and it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I'm learning more and more every day about, how to be a marketing genius, what marketing has got to do with, the media right now, how to make a movie that's compelling to make someone actually agree with your idea. And of course, we also have to touch in about news as well. There's ethics to news. There's, ways to share news. There's ways to make sure that your news is, not fake or anything, not misleading. And like I said, I'm really lucky to be part of it and I'm really enjoying it.
What was that tilted you over into this, is it the area that you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
Oh, well, I've been in media ever since I was young. And I did touch about on like different things. I studied IT for a while. I studied computer science. But in the end, I decided to go with media because not only is it something that I've been in ever since I was young, but I just found it as a passion. And frankly, every time I ran into someone, they'd be like, you need to be in media. You need to be in media. You need to be in media. So I thought, you know, why not? And actually, I'm from the first batch that's going to be graduating from this program, God willing. And yeah, it's as soon as I found the opportunity, I was like, I have to do it. I jumped right at it.
And we talked about that there's Qataris there. There's so many different other nationalities. What is that like with that sharing?
I hope I don't get too stereotypical here, but you see, the thing I know about myself and about all the other Qataris that are with me in university, not just our program, is that most of them are passionate. They are people that actually do want to achieve something, and they are willing to actually put in the effort to excel in their fields. So for the Qataris that I have with me in the field of digital communication and media production, for us, of course, like, Qatar has been a leader in media in all around the world, and not only about, you know, sharing news, but it's also about the innovative things that we have right now, all these different trends that we're doing. As soon as you open up, you know, your Instagram or your Twitter or your TikTok, and you see, like, if there's any events going on, if there's anything happening, all of this, of course, relates to the media. And, you know, Qatar has a certain style to it. So as students, we definitely do want to follow up with it. We want to make it better, and we want to excel in it. And like I said, it's just a lot of fun. It's really fun. It's kind of, you know, out of the picture that sometimes you see a person like me wearing a ghitra holding a camera, especially if I'm walking around with like a tripod and whatever. They're like, are you traveling or something? So, but like I said, it's a lot of fun. As much as it is, like, there's a lot of effort into it, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I have other Qataris with me. And so far, we've made a few movies and more to come.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And were they any good? What was the kind of...
you're going to have to ask the person who graded them.
He's hard, though. I know he's hard.
I mean, what you get, you know, when you have a diverse student body, you get very different inputs on the same things. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Because to be in the media and communication field, I would say first you need to love people, you need to love to tell stories, you need to be genuinely interested. And then you can find your niche, right? I love more cinematography, directing, being on camera, you know, or something else. But the beauty of what we are getting right now is that mix of stories.
Yeah.
So that's the main goal, right? And now we still don't have the graduates yet. Students are learning. You can see the steep learning curve, right? Between them, they team up. They start working on more complicated projects every year. Yeah. So now, you know, the most senior students are midway third year, but there is still another whole year and more complicated subjects that are coming their way. And you see that, like, if you just reflect on the first labs, when you have like green and blue out of focus photos, right? They couldn't take a photo 2 years ago, and now they're, you know, telling compelling stories and over different mediums.
The way he mentioned that, you know, at some point someone's going to find their niche. The thing with this program is that you get to touch on a little bit of everything. So, like he had mentioned in the beginning, you know, we have cinematography, we have documentary, all that stuff. We get to learn all of it, and then at some point, someone's going to choose something to stick with. So, for me, I found out that videography, so much fun. But if I go to someone else and be like, oh, would you like to be my director of photography? Would you like to be my videographer? He'd be like, no way. I do your editing if you want. And some people really love editing. Some people love being in front of the camera. Some people like doing sounds. You know, as soon as someone finds their, like, the thing they want to stick with, they're going to try doing anything to excel in it. And like he said, it's very versatile, and it's very, you know, one thing can have so many different views and so many different ways to be articulate with it. And it's a lot of fun.
But it makes me, I've seen all the equipment that you've got and the facilities you've got. These guys are going to be ready for anything when they get out there. They really are going to be had that experience with so many different.
Look, I'm not going to lie, what he also touched upon, some students are struggling with it, right? Because you have other programs, maybe that are more focused on one thing. But the way we designed it, that layering of general education, a little bit of program-specific stuff, introduction, then television, we would like to have it like that, so students right after second year are basically already ready, they can start looking for work. and then you build upon it for documentary production or, you know, again, eventually fiction film production. So it does pose an extra challenge because students do need to touch upon all this stuff. And maybe one day we're going to spread it out more towards just maybe cinema or, you know, gaming is another huge element. I feel there is an appetite for it as well. Yeah. And you could branch out all these television deserves, you know, separate program, cinema deserves a separate program. But I think our students are quite happy what they're getting now because the range of job opportunities could be huge.
Huge.
Yeah. That's the you know, the final outcome.
Because that's always the thing, it's supply and demand, right? And as you said, we've got one of the best media companies here with Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be plenty of jobs, and that's just only one of many. So there is going to be many different opportunities.
Yeah, the media world here in Qatar, it's always, you know, getting bigger and bigger.
It's having that experience, right? And I again, with your students, is it very competitive there? Is it you're all competing against one another, or is it kind of you find your team that you're working with?
But I think the catch is to find a healthy competition.
Yeah.
You're supposed to compete, but then if you realize somebody's doing it better, you're supposed to approach and say, teach me. Or, okay, you are a better director, maybe I'm moving better with the camera, and this guy likes editing. So let's team up. I think that's the way to go. And this is where this niche market is coming. But your skills, I think, from my professional experience, it's always better if you understand what the guy next to you is doing. Because you really appreciate, you know, and you know, maybe as a cinematographer, you're going to deliver better material for the editing, right? If you know that person needs a variety, or you know some of the stresses of on-camera talent, right? So being able to understand the whole process, you know, from start to finish is actually quite helpful. Even though probably you won't do it, you're not going to do it alone, right? Yeah, you still need any bigger projects, it will take more people.
Most of the time we do actually team up because, like you had mentioned, some projects are actually really big. And I think teaming up is one of the most fun aspects. And the way I like to think about it is that we're all in this together. At some point, we're going to graduate together. At some point, we're going to be working together. Yeah. So not only are you lucky to be, you know, already establishing credentials with this group and wanting to work with them, but at some point, if you actually do manage to work with them, you already know that whatever you produce is going to be really good.
But I realize that something as well, being here 16 years, is the people that I do know now, Qataris and expats, is it those bonds that you see, the ones that's been educated together, those bonds last forever.
Yeah.
Like those bonds.
You have famous, you know, directors who are working with the same editor.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, for the rest of their careers. Like, yeah. You know, that's, but something that maybe we can, you know, a nice segue to our maybe topic today is what would be interesting is maybe to have these culture exchanges.
That's the next thing I was going to come on, and it's good you said that, because I know that you're working closely, your university is working closely with the embassy, the UK embassy, which I know that the connections are really tight there. But again, it's come into that culture side of it and how important it is to make sure that we keep that learning process.
For somebody, whoever is going to produce, if you're going to produce in Qatar or UK or anywhere else in the world, then you need to understand when you post it out there in the internet, it's for the entire world, right? So this is where this cultural competency comes into play. And of course, Qatar is, there is a, I think I read it, it was in Al Jazeera last week, that there is each Qatari on average travels to UK 4 times.
Yeah.
more than a million,
yeah.
Right? And that means some Qataris travel 20 times.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah. So finding these like connections maybe with some educational institutions would be interesting because there's obviously interest already. Yeah. And then bringing people here just to see maybe for, you know, term or something like that. I think that would be quite an interesting angle. And I'm sure our students would love to explore something like that.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the
relationship. I'm quite the odd man. First time I've been to the UK was last year.
Yeah, but you were born in Ireland.
I don't know if you want to call that part of UK or...
It's not part of the UK, and they'll be horrified if I said it was. No, they're completely different. But it's a great place.
Yeah, I've been to London and Birmingham. Yeah.
Okay.
First time.
But I know your brother. And I know if you wanted to, you can completely go into the Irish accent in an instant.
All right. I guess I shall. Make this a really difficult episode for the listeners.
But that's what I like about you and your brother. It's like, and you are coming from a media, I would say not a media, but also in front of the camera. Yeah. Your brother's very prolific here in Qatar.
Yeah.
And he's a comedian, right?
He is, yeah.
Do you get any of his, have you got the, I think you have got some of that comedian in you.
People like to say it, but I don't see it really.
Yeah. But it is important that we have these cultural exchanges. And I think I can't wait to see what you're going to be doing with the embassy. And I know that the British Council is going to be in there at some stage to be helping that cultural change and to be looking at different things that you could be doing things together. So it's really good on that front. But going forward with all of this, and I wanted to ask you the question as well, is it you've started this within this university, okay?
Well, I shouldn't say I started it because there was already a lot of work done before I joined.
Okay.
So it was, when I was hired, there was actually already, I think, first batch of students here. So there was a whole comprehensive project proposal, you know, led by a senior management of UDST. There was a lot of funding allocated already for DCMP. So I was fortunate enough by the time when I came that I actually immediately got so much support. And I know this sometimes sounds like a cliche, but I know from different universities where I studied and work, you know, things can happen at a snail speed, you know, in academia. And considering what was the scope, right, or scale of this department, we had maybe 35 students, not much equipment, not much labs. And then in 2 years' time, we have a really nice and tight study plan. We have studio on campus. We have Video Village with tons of stuff in it. Another two specialized labs. Connections built across Qatar media landscape, including majors such as Al Jazeera, Al Jazeera Media Institute, Doha Film Institute, Qatar Media Corporation. So this is all really, really important to put students on the map. And then, you know, when you sign an MOU, right, to act upon it. And for ultimately, these students demonstrate some skills. But it is quite unique, as Badr says at the beginning, because this applied component is, you know, it's really, I think, what is, I guess, so attractive.
Yeah. Which is why I also like to agree with the idea how you said that these students would be, you know, ready for anything. It's because not only is it that we have to take more than one field in media, but we also have to do it. It's all applied sciences. You have to prove that you are actually able to do it. So not only are you learning how a studio works, but you have to produce your own live show. You have to learn how to work the green screen, work the cyclorama, work all the lights in the studio. And then that's only one of the things, but you also have to learn how to be a journalist. You also have to know how to do storytelling. How can you make your story so compelling that people actually want to click on it? So
I say the same with the podcast. I look up and say if what I do, it's only 5% of the whole experience.
Yeah.
But you think at the beginning, oh, you're the one that's going to be the host. You're the one. It's not all to do with me. It's about our guys here, right?
Yeah,
it's about the social media lady that works with us and the film editor. And it's all those things that actually have more percentage on whether this is a success or not. And that's where I was trying to get with this competitiveness. And we all want to be competitive and we all want to show each other that we're there to be counted on. And that's what I like about you guys. Where I was coming with this one is it with you being the, and I'm going to call you the leader at the moment with this whole thing.
Yeah, he's our leader, all right.
Exactly. You better be right. He's coming to his last year. It's like, how do you feel that it's all gone when you look back at the times that you've got now and they've all gone through this process 1 year to go? It must be pretty rewarding.
I mean, it is, because the reason why I went into academia, I wanted to do something else where my skills could be really useful, right? I spent more than 20 years in practice. I loved it, but at some point, if you feel that you're not completely in it, right, I think you should leave, you know, upskill and do something else. So this is how I ended up doing my PhD in media studies. And it's interesting that those skills that at some point, like today, everybody's talking about the AI, but when I start fishing about the topics about my PhD was all about smartphones and the vertical video at the time. And that was a magic bullet for engagement and, you know, everything else. So I started writing these little blurbs, and I realized, because I was already kind of in, well, working in TV industry, I work with a lot of interns and I want them to learn more hands-on stuff so they can really enjoy and, you know, get into the up to speed quickly. So I think doing that with now such a different and diverse student body, it is very rewarding. And you see them growing, you see them taking initiatives, bringing guests. Like yesterday, we had a screening. Just a spontaneous, you know, last week, one student said, okay, I met this, you know, Palestinian director, can we invite him? They did the whole process, right? Inviting the person, doing the permits, you know, all nine yards, right? And we just came, invite other students and enjoy. So I think those are the results. And I think for this program, the best is yet to come, because we are now producing, students are producing short films, and some of them will definitely be worthy of festival runs. And this is where I guess we can put ourselves on the map.
And it's not only about films, you know. I look forward to the day where I see, you know, my colleagues who are, you know, starting to become a voice for journalism and starting to become a voice for, you know, the right of the world. And we have so many students that are already so passionate about, you know, sharing right information and sharing rightful information and making sure that news is being spread in a responsible way. And there's a lot of people that are really, you know, so already talented in writing stories and manipulating, not really manipulating, but getting people to see, you know, the angle that is not available to the public or not shown to the public. And, you know, I know for a fact that some of these people or some of these students, sooner or later, they're probably going to have, you know, such a huge following of people who are running after the news and running after sharing information that is actually correct and not being overshadowed by anything else. So
I think it's a wonderful time to be involved in this. And you're the next generation that's coming through. And it's that we always, that wheel needs to be keeping on moving. We need inspirations. We need people to be inspired by what you've done and what you've created. And I think that's something that you're all going to benefit from, especially you.
TV industry is already strong, right? Starting with Al Jazeera and other majors. But there's so much space, for example, in documentary production, in photography, in UX fields, like UX design, this kind of stuff. So we have, I don't know, 15 probably nationalities. You know, you can have a room with like 24 students and you can have 15 nationalities in the room. So that creates a really interesting mix of just ideas and perspectives. You know, what people think about the same topic, which is a small, you know, it's just a microcosm of the world.
But you do, in those moments, you get more of an understanding about the culture and how people
100%.
Work.
100%. Especially when I think we've mentioned that we also have to learn UI and UX, and we also have to learn things that have to do with graphics and all that. So, you know, at some point when we were taking graphic design, I was really new to it. I was like, I was horrid. I had to learn like bit by bit. I looked like a person who had first time fallen on a computer. It was really bad. But some other people there, wow, mashallah, they're all over the place. As soon as they were like, oh, I'm going to create a poster, I'm going to create a 3D movie, I'm going to create, it's beautiful. And you get to see how their cultures affect these illustrations they have. They like a certain color palette, or they like a certain design, certain geometrical shape, or abstract shapes. You can definitely tell how they like to, you know, give their illustrations tastes of their own cultures. So
yeah, it's kind of it is fascinating. I'm gonna bring something up topical, and does it worry you at all? AI.
There was a lot of talks in January 23, right, when Chad. All famous ChatGPT 3.5 was released. It was definitely, you know, a little earthquake, right? But there's this is what I say to students: what if there's no power? You know, you still need to write it down, right? You can do a pencil cut. And even if you do prompting, what's going to be in those prompts? What kind of texts, movies you are trying to create? Something really important for this region is also that, I don't know, maybe I have the old data, but, you know, 52% of all internet is in English. And more materials being generated, obviously, because most of these large language models are based in Northern America, in English. But in terms of Arabic or other languages, right, it's much, much smaller. So if you are really thinking of helping yourself, your culture and your family, you should create original content. This is my message. And then you implement tools, okay? You use spell checkers to help you out, you use something to fix it. But if you don't know the basics, it's the same. You know, so you can have like $10,000 camera if you don't know how to tell a story.
Yeah.
And eventually, if all students use the same filter, right, or AI tool, it's
it's just gonna start being boring.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Never, it's never gonna take your empathy or your understanding or desire.
I mean, the thing about AI is that, it is a weapon. it is a weapon, and it's about how you use it. It's about how you wield it. And, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I've used AI before, but I've never used it to, you know, plagiarize or anything. But like you said, I've used it to, like, you know, spelling checker or maybe to enhance something. And what I like about it is that you can use it to enhance sometimes, but if you straight up rely on it, you can't have like media without the human touch.
You cannot have it.
Like if you build robots that would give you the perfect image on a camera, would maximize a camera. Like you could give a robot a $10,000 camera. You could tell it, maximize it. Give me the best image you can get me out of this camera. But if it has nothing to capture, what's the point?
if it hasn't got that eye. Yeah.
If you need to finish your story, like you're working, you're pressed for deadlines, and you need that one shot. So instead of traveling 3 hours somewhere or asking for a permit for a drone, okay, I get it. You know, you fill in the blanks. But I learned from living in a different countries, right? If you don't know much about this culture, or what, again, the kind of story you're trying to say, your prompts will be shallow.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no depth to it.
There's even a way to write prompts. There's a certain way to learn how to write prompts with what AI you're using. I'm pretty sure you've seen the Coca-Cola advertisement that was in Christmas.
Yeah.
It was such a horrid ad, man. It was so bad. When I saw it, I was, how could a $1 billion company produce an advertisement like this? But like he said, you know, if you use it to fill in the gaps, if you use it to enhance something, if you use it to make it a little bit more attracting or dazzled, okay, why not? But you can't just give it where it can tell it to do it.
I'm glad. it's really nice to hear your spirit, because I think I was one of those that looked over my shoulder when I was doing ChatGPT, asking it for, is somebody watching me? Are they going to think I'm cheating? But it's helped me in certain ways, and it's helped me become a better person, or got me to understand it in a little bit way. But listening to your comments coming back, it's the industry is not going to be taken by this.
Maybe not. TV didn't kill the radio star. So it's just another tool. It's another tool, and it will land in a mainstream basket once the whole political commotion settles down, once every country has its own functioning large language model. So, you know, if you want to talk something that it's more relevant for this region, you know, and I think it's like many countries are getting there, including Qatar, right? There is already several large language models in Arabic, just to fill that gap. Every conference in 23 was about scary AI taking our jobs. And then you could see in 24, everybody got already over it. We get it. It's getting more powerful. If you put like an astronaut in a woolen sweater on the moon, you know, 100 likes and then what? But we so far haven't seen, yes, there is more powerful text to video tools, which is probably what people are referring as like a magic bullet. You know, you just type it in and here's the movie, right? So we'll see.
Yeah,
maybe.
But like I mentioned in the beginning, it's that we're really lucky. Like my generation, we're super lucky to be growing up with AI, that we get to understand how it works. We get to learn it more than it starts to learn us. And then we can start using it as, you know, as the tool that it actually is. We start to wield it in the correct way, and we'll come up with something, I guess.
Listen, when I'm old enough now that I remember calculators were came in, and the calculators, it was like, we're not using those. You're not allowed to bring them in. Don't use it. It's cheating. So you've seen it in a full circle, really. It's kind of there's always going to be something else that takes its place, right? Yeah. We're always going to get to that. It's been wonderful having you on the podcast, but I've got one question each.
Please.
British Council. Give me one word that means something to you for the British Council. I know it's hard, but...
You know what was my first contact, if I look back at British Council logo? I actually used the British Council website to search for film festivals. It was one of the best tools I ever found to sort by format, let's say analog formats, digital formats, genres, dates, with or without fees. Like, so I think the network, maybe that would be the like kind of global network. This is how I, you know, that would be maybe the one word.
Perfect.
To summarize it.
There's a lot of things I can say, really, but the thing I like a lot about the establishment of the British Council in Qatar is that it allows us to expand our, you know, abilities. And like he had mentioned, 52% of the internet is actually in English. So if you want to learn how to, you know, expand your knowledge on the way the English language works and maybe literacy, it definitely helps. And the thing about it is that right now in Qatar, with all the Arabic speaking people, most of the time you do find that they do actually have a good English knowledge. And with the way the world is moving right now, you need it. Also, something else I can say is as well the collaboration part of it. It's that, you know, when you start to bring all these people around with their different cultures and their different experiences, you can learn more from each other, and you can definitely collaborate together to make something very amazing.
Yeah, I must admit, again, I've interviewed so many people, and they've been here since 1972. And I'm really proud because they really have, they probably created this relationship, this special relationship between Qatar and the UK. So it's a nice collaboration. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank
I'm
you.
Always impressed
Thank
with
you
what you're doing.
Us,
yeah. What you're doing and you're doing. We never had this when I was in school, the cameras. It was all instant and you had to go and get the film developed, right? Yeah. So I wish you all the best. I wish you well with your results that you get with these guys, and I wish you to get the best job in the best thing that you ever wanted.
Thank you very much. We wish you well as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today.
Of course.
You.